Welcome back to the Everything Bagel podcast, the only show recorded in a cave in what was formerly Yugoslavia.
This is true.
My name's Mitchell, and this is Ethan, my co-host, and we're back from the dead to record another episode, and the dead was Tuesday, yesterday.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know this, we do die between each episode.
Yep.
We pass away for just a little bit. And then we come back to life for the episode. And then, you know, probably an hour from now, we'll be wrapping up. And, well, Mitchell's got to edit. And then we'll die. Bagel.
Yeah.
I'll die probably first, and then Mitchell will die. And then, you know. But also, real quick, I want to shout out your podcast titles. I was going through our podcast page today. Every title's like such a good, it's like clickbaity enough where I'm like, I would click on that, but also not clickbaity enough where you're like, no. And then like the stuff does actually happen. You just pick like the best topics out of an hour long episode. I'm just like very impressed by that because I couldn't do that. Just want to call that out.
That's encouraging. I do think about it pretty intentionally. So there you go.
Also, shout out, like, also, just, I don't know if the people know this, Mitchell does everything for the podcast. Like, legitimately, record, like, I send him the file, and then I'm just kind of like, no, I'm done. So, I just want to shout out Mitchell quick again, because every single episode you're hearing, you're only hearing because Mitchell made it happen. Otherwise, it would just be two audio files sitting here. So, shout out Mitchell again for that.
Wow. Thank you. That's really nice. Of course. I liked one of our, I'm trying to remember the podcast title from like, it was like a month ago or something. It was fairly quick. I need to find it. It was, I can't remember. But it was like, the title was something that happened that we talked about in the last like 20 seconds of the episode. So you literally had to listen to the whole thing. I can't remember which one, but it was pretty classic. So I usually try not to do that. But that one I just had to. It's like literally the last 25 seconds you actually understood what was going on in the title. So retention is up, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's important. Yeah, just like we should do that every episode. Just bring up something super, super like not inflammatory, but something that like people have opinions on for like the last 10 seconds and be like, yeah, I think Taylor Swift's, well, we've done that before.
I'll write it down. Last 10 seconds, we'll say something very inflammatory.
Yeah, I'll be thinking throughout the episode.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to go into the meat and potatoes or do you want to start off with just our, because while we're talking about Mitchell being great, you have a song on your desktop called Mitchell's Wrath, I think that we should take a listen to.
Yeah, I think we should just, I want to listen to these. I'm really excited. So I'll just hit play.
Well, listen to the first one, which I don't know what to, let's do Bagels and Pot. Or no, let's do Mitchell's Wrath first. We're already talking about Mitchell and his great work, and I think this will be a great fit. So let's hear, let's listen.
Yeah, this is
very short. It's like 51 seconds. Yeah.
Here we go.
Yo, listen up. Let me tell you about my boy Mitchell. He's the sickest, illest. Yeah, he's one in a million.
What?
Always got my back. He's the definition of true. If you mess with him, that's what you do. Mitchell's got the flow. He's a non-stoppable force. His rhymes are so fierce. They hit you with full force. Who's got the skills, the talent, the fire in his face? When he spits his bars, you better remember his name. Mitchell's in the house. He's here to
what make the? The this is a banger.
He's the king of the rap game. Ain't nobody better. Mitchell's bringing the heat.
I think that's it.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's just a track after that.
Wow.
So yeah, I changed my voice actually.
That's crazy. That.
Yeah, man.
What? What is going on here?
What?
What is going on here?
Oh, I just made you a song, man. I just really appreciate the work you're doing. So I wrote up a song and performed it and wrote a track and everything.
Produced, you know. Mixed, mastered.
Yep.
That's wild.
No, this springboards us into a topic I came wanting to talk about, and that's AI. Yet again, I know all I want to talk about, I feel like, is AI. I feel like I'm bringing it up very often.
Nobody else is talking about it, so we have to.
Yeah, someone's got to do it. You know, if it's me, it's me. You know, I'm happy to do that.
It's your cross to bear.
Exactly, man. So that's an AI written and performed song, if you didn't know. I was actually making a joke. I didn't write it. I know. Sorry, guys. Sorry. But it's this app called Suno, S-U-N-O. And I spent a good amount of time on there before we got on this podcast and made a couple more songs. I just wanted to call out quick. I think when I gave it the prompt, it definitely believed you were a rapper yourself.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, couple,
yeah,
it made it sound like I had my own bars, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love.
So I think, yeah, no, yeah. I think you definitely do have your own bars too from time to time.
Yeah. Thanks.
Here and there. So I think Bagels and Podcasts or Thoughts and Bagels might have more apt lyrics.
Which one do you want me to play?
Let's stay in the rap, and we're going to go for Bagels and Podcasts.
Okay.
We're going to stay in the rap genre.
Okay. All right, here we go. Woke up this morning feeling kind of famished. Needed
something tasty, something quite lavish. Wait, real quick, time out. This makes me think of what if Ninja got a low type of face?
This it's one makes our own version. Of, yeah. That's hilarious. Right, okay, here we go.
I just wanted to call it out. Needed something tasty, something quite lavish. Headed to the bakery, my hunger in full throttle. Spotted the bagels, knew I hit the jackpot. Cream cheese and butter, the choice I had to make. Everything bagel was the one I couldn't shake.
Come on.
Topped it with some bacon eggs and a little hot sauce. Had the flavor person over for a little hot sauce.
Sauce. Bagels and podcasts, my two
favorite things. Huh. Come on, come on.
Yeah.
My best friend Mitchell. Good vibes it
brings. Sing it out, Church. Podcast blowing minds, conversation so cool. Yeah, we are.
I think it also definitely believes that we're like high schoolers or college students because of that line of Kings of the School.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, that's interesting that AI was able to ascertain the fact, well, this is a song about podcasts, so it's they're probably kids. Like, they're probably in school. So,
yeah.
I think so, you sent... Go ahead.
What are you putting into this thing? Like, what's the prompt look like? And then
For that one...
Does it just make whatever?
That one, the prompt was, write a hip-hop rap in the style of Drake about everything bagels, my best friend Mitchell, and podcasts being super cool.
Wow. There you go.
So, I think it did a good job, honestly. There aren't many that it, like, has missed on. Like, there's not many songs that I deleted pretty quickly. Like, a lot of them I have still here. I was telling you before the podcast began. Sorry, this has kind of just become my bit, but I'm going to keep running with
it. Yeah, keep going.
I was telling you before the podcast that I've really been getting into country music, like Morgan Wallen,
sure.
Hardy, and there's this playlist, not playlist, like this group of artists called Hicks Tape, H-I-X-T-A-P-E.
Okay.
And it's like Morgan Wallen and Hardy are two staples, and they have like a bunch of other people in there and they make these songs. They're really good. However, I don't relate at all to any country songs, like ever. Like I just don't. No part of what I'm doing in work makes me relate to country songs. And so I thought, man, if only I had some sort of, you know, some sort of, what's the word, song or artist that would make music that was designed for me.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of one of it. So I think, do you have Corporate Cowboy on there?
Yeah, it just showed up.
Yeah, I just dropped it in there. How about you hit play on that? And I all think right. That'll be a good,
okay.
Good description.
Here we go. I like it.
Yeah. Crunching numbers, making deals, and closing the books. Come on. Steering this ship, dodging all the crooks.
I'm providing shareholder value. That's what shareholder I value.
Shareholder I value. My people gonna make it through. Working for a living, pouring my heart and soul. Giving it all I got, reaching for that goal. I'm the king of the boardroom. Unironically, Banks.
Working for a living, living. Wow.
has a second verse too. We don't have to listen to it. It's not as great, but it ends.
We're listening.
Okay.
9 to 5 Monday through Friday, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Come on.
Except that work weekends, but gonna reach the top. I'm a corporate cowboy. Ain't never gonna stop. God damn it. You knew exactly what it was gonna be.
I like I'm the king of the boardroom. That's a great line.
I honestly loved the corporate cowboy line. I was like, that's actually kind of a fire line.
Honestly,
corporate
good.
Cowboy. Yeah. That's actually sick.
I could like, see I, that being like I love a chart topping song.
Yeah, or like not even that, just like some merch, dropping some corporate cowboy merch.
Yeah.
Where it's like a dress shirt but it has like pro buttons or something like that. Or that like
amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was that honestly did it helped me. It was kind of like, yeah, all right, this artist does get me.
Yeah,
because that's the biggest thing is I'll listen to these guys and be like, I don't relate to this. Mm. I never grew up in a back road. I don't have this attachment to my hometown. Mm. And they're like, that's the other thing is like these people are like, you know, I lived in this town all my life and I left it, but I'm coming back and it always has a place in my heart. And I'm like, dude, I have no attachment to my hometown. I like it because my parents. Parents, because my parents are there.
My parents are there. Mommy, daddy,
if my parents left,
grandpa, grandma, I do.
And my brothers and sisters, and my dog and my cat. I don't know how that became New York all of a sudden.
New York.
Are 2-year-olds just New Yorkers, and then they become normal, except if you live in New York?
Whoa, change my diaper. I'm stinky.
I'm stinky, mom. Oh, my goodness. I'm falling apart. That was British.
That was British.
Yeah. That was different just in general.
What's all this then? Because I bombed my trousers.
But I don't know. I don't know. What's your opinion on country music?
I grew up hating it because my brothers didn't like it and I had every opinion that they had, I automatically had.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, same.
Of course. But...
But like with your brothers,
yeah,
just like my brothers or my dad or mom or anything. It was just Mitchell's brothers. I didn't even know who you were till college, but I just was like, your brothers have some good topics and points and beliefs.
Yeah, I think you had some prophecies about my brothers. You prophesied.
Yeah, a couple dreams, a couple fleeces that were wet and then dry and dry and wet. Yeah. You know.
So what were your thoughts as a kid on the Mac versus PC battle?
This was always kind of. We were Mac family.
Okay. Well, then that means that you knew the prophecy because my brothers hated Windows. Therefore, I did as well. That one hasn't really changed. I'm really a fan. But, yeah.
I do not like PCs.
It's gross, dude. It's
like, Windows is not my favorite.
Ugh. Gross.
No.
Country music is fun. I think during the summer, it's fun to listen to.
That's 100% it.
I did 2 summers ago get pretty into it. Last summer, got moderately into it. I would assume this summer I will once again get pretty into it. You know.
So it's 60 today. I think it hit 60 degrees and sunny.
Yep.
And I had the windows and the doors open in my house, cleaning, just blasting Hicks tape.
Nice.
And it was fantastic, dude. And I was like, yeah, I'm fully in on this. But come wintertime, it's a full stop no go for the country music. It's nope, we're not listening to that. That's not what the season is. Thanks though. No. Thanks though.
Thank you.
All right. Anyways, back to the AI. So we already listened to Mitchell's Wrath. We already listened to Bagels and Podcasts, Corporate Cowboy. Let's jump into another one in the same vein, 9 to 5 Dreams.
All right.
This one is kind of softer, but also same idea. Actually, you know what? No, we're not going to do that one. I don't like that one. I don't know why I put it in there.
Okay.
Instead, have we done Thoughts and Bagels yet?
No. I like it, though.
All right, let's hit.
I like the title.
Let's hit that one.
All right,
let's
hit here that we go.
One. I think this one. Yes. This is my soul. Through the airwaves, his stories unfold.
His words, they resonate, they inspire. Huh. In this podcast world, podcast takes me higher.
It's all about you. Mitchell, podcast king, tell me your tale. Tell me your tale. Keep me company on my own. Tell me your tale.
and bagels filling up my mind and belly in belly. This indie folk journey we find solace and rally.
I love that they described the actual genre that it was in the last line there, indie folk.
It's pretty good. Is there another verse?
Yep.
With every episode a new adventure begins. He weaves tales of laughter, sorrow, and whether it's interviews or reflections profound, Mitchell's words, they always astound.
Wow. That is wild. I love how the whole time you are just lip syncing it. I can see you, and I'm imagining you memorized it. I'm guessing you were looking at the lyrics, but I'm just hoping you memorized it.
Yeah, no, I actually wrote all the lyrics myself. I sat with my quill and my parchment and wrote Mitchell's words, or Mitchell's voice, it soothes my soul.
Wow. Soothes.
My favorite line is, "Oh, Mitchell, podcast king, tell me your tales."
Yeah, that's good. Tell me your tales. That's great.
I love the approach. Oh, Mitchell, podcast king, tell me your tales.
The word tales is fantastic. Just, yeah.
That's what awesome. Do you think about, I've heard this said elsewhere. We might have said it ourselves, but like, how did AI end up getting all the fun, cool jobs? Like, how come they're not the ones, you know, working in warehouses and doing the menial, boring tasks? Instead, they get to make the art, they get to make the music, they get to write the stories and all this stuff. Like, what happened?
Well, I'm going to guess because being creative is hard. And so if you can get somebody else to do it for you and still make money, then that's good. I think in the long run, it's a very bad thing. But I would assume there's some sort of AI that's doing warehouse stuff. Maybe it's just not.
Yeah, but it's like
not publicized.
More like the actual physical manual labor aspect of it that's still human based. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not. Yeah, there are the AI is utilized in warehouses like across America, but yeah. It's like computers and they're like doing like the math and stuff. AI is not being used to like walk in the aisles and grab the stuff, do all the manual physical labor type stuff.
I don't know. I guess you got to build robots to do that.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I think also in the same vein, though, you can use art for like utilitarian purposes. So if we click on highway mechanics, this is how to change your tire as well as your oil filter in a rock ballad format.
That's actually really helpful because I don't really know how to do those things.
So. Oh, it doesn't give good instructions by any means, but kind of
I'm gonna a vague overview. I'm going to take it to heart. So.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck.
All right. But here we go.
Let's give it a listen.
Oh, whoops.
When your car breaks down on the open road and you're feeling lost with nowhere to go, fear not, my friend, for I'll be your guide.
Fear not, my friend.
I'll show you how to fix it.
Fix it step by step. By step.
Come on.
Is a force to make that line work.
Inspired.
And it drops back into the chorus here.
Wow.
After a little instrumental break, I was trying to get it to do a key change, and it does not do a good job at one.
That's awesome. Here, I'll just make it. I'll make it do a key change in the background. Post. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. That sounds good.
So it'll.
It has a perfect spot for one right here, I think.
Yeah, it'll pick up.
Oh. And then it goes right into the same key and everything.
I'll make it doesn't change a single post.
Thing. Yeah, I think that'd be super cool.
What you're hearing as a listener is the key change.
Well, this key change is fire, dude.
Dude, this is crazy how they did that.
AI did such a good job AI, key changing that.
AI made this.
So that's how I spent my afternoon.
That's wild. Oh yeah. My gosh. Those lyrics are so funny. When they like have to really force a rhyme, those are the best ones.
Like, how are you going to build oil filter into a song?
Well, they did it.
Now let's take a look under the hood, changing the oil filter we know we should.
True. That's good. I mean,
good. Credit where credit's due, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, did I pay $10 for the ability to make 50 songs? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
of course you did. I mean, why
yep,
not?
Definitely. Yep. Yeah, no, that was a good purchase too. So if anyone needs some AI songs made, at Ethan Flint on Instagram, let me know and I'll get right on it.
That's crazy. The cynical part of me says that $10 should have gone to like an artist's album or something, but I'm not going to complain because I don't think there's a point, and I think it's a pretty funny way to spend $10. But that's the cynical part of me.
No, that's a very real aspect of it. I think there's also that level too of like, dude, the turnaround time is literally under 30 seconds, a fully written song, lyrics and everything. Like,
wild.
It was $10 for 50 songs. So what is that? Like 10 cents? No, that'd be 100 songs. So what? 50 cents per song?
I'll let you do the math.
No. Yeah, I should always remember, math on the pod is never the move.
I can't do it.
20 cents per song, which still kind of feels like a lot, but
I mean, it's pretty good, honestly. 20 cents per song. That's pretty cheap.
That closes up my, actually I have a little one more thing about AI and then I'll be done with the AI thing. Okay. I promise. Have you ever used Marco Polo?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that they have like little AI things that break down how things were like what happens in the message?
No, I haven't used it recently. It's probably been a couple years.
Oh, okay. So there's like this, it just was really strange. It was very strange. So I'm in an AI group chat. I'm in a Marco Polo group chat with my mom and dad. And there was, they sent a video message. And then AI gave a summary of it. And it was just kind of uncanny. It was just weird. I didn't like it. Okay. It says, summary. Mom discusses a range of topics, including plans, experiences with Uber, sports events, and future prospects in a friendly and casual tone. It just felt strange. Huh. You know?
Friendly and casual tone.
Like getting a message from your parents and then having something else look at it and go, oh yeah, they're talking about this stuff in friendly, casual tone. I was like, that feels weird.
It gets a little weird when they start like describing emotions. That's like when it's not right. If it's just like, no, she described, you know, these three things, that's fine. Because then it just analyzes like the transcription.
It's like, all right, I understand these topics.
Yeah. But it's weird when they start, you know, I've seen that recently with like, I saw a Grammarly ad that was like, hey, if you're writing an email to your team or whatever, like here's how you can rewrite it. And you can just say like, rewrite this in an inspiring tone. And then it like rewrites the whole thing to like just sound more inspiring. It weirds me out a little bit.
It makes me uncomfortable for sure. Did you see there's a test they do where they give an AI like terabytes of information and then it's like a needle in a haystack for an AI robot. And so like they gave this one, I'll pull the link and send it over if I find it, but they basically gave this one robot like multiple terabytes of information about computers and computer sciences and stuff like that. And then they threw in one sentence that was like, the best pizza toppings are this, this, and this, okay. And then said, analyze this. And then it basically wrote an analysis of the whole thing and then said, there was one line. Basically it was able to identify one line and say like, this didn't belong. Interesting. And then it said, this is either as a mistake or some sort of joke, or there is a possibility that you are testing me to see if I can find this.
What the?
Which, like, that's
spooky.
I'm spooked personally, but I know that, I mean, some people are kind of like, yeah, it's like, that's not a hard assumption for it to come up with. But I'm like, yeah, but it kind of also means that it not only found, like, it's had, I hesitate to say it, but almost original thought a little bit. Where it kind of was like, I found this, it doesn't belong, and then was able to take it a step further and go, well, why was it here? It asked, why is it in this group? And then had answers to its own question of like, oh, well, maybe it's a test or a joke. Like, it's a little bit self-aware of like, I'm in the midst. I'm not just a computer doing a task. I'm being tested. There's a chance I'm being tested because I am something.
Yeah.
The idea of having an essence is kind of creeping into AI, which makes me scared personally. I'm scared. I'll say it.
Weird. Not you, but the thing that we're talking about. That's
oh, thanks for clarifying.
Weirdo. Friggin' weirdo.
Weird. You, not the thing we're talking about.
Friggin' scaredy cat. Yeah. I'm personally not that, like, I'm not, like, realistically that scared about, like, robots taking over. It's just a little uncanny, and, like, I'm so curious on how well any of this is going to stand the test of time. You know, like, right now it's very much a hot button thing. I bet in 50 years there will maybe be, I guess, one of two things. One, everything's gone to crap and robots take over and we all die. I guess that's a possibility. I doubt it. The second thing would be probably that we kind of realize what is actually worth keeping and what isn't. You know, like, is that email thing that lets you rewrite an email inspiringly, is that going to stick around? Or are we just going to realize maybe I should just care about my work and write an inspiring email myself, you know? Or yeah. Whatever. Even like with the music thing, it's fun. It's like hilarious to tell it to write a song and then it whips out a banger in like 30 seconds. That is wild. But nobody's going to be listening to this album. You know, let's say you put this into an album. Nobody's going to listen to this in 20 years and think, this saved my life. Versus when an artist puts out an album that literally saves people's life. Like, that's right. So that's just kind of the interesting discussion. But it's wild how it can write a song in 30 seconds. And it's like pretty funny. Like, those songs were pretty funny, which is just hilarious. And the lyrics are awesome.
I think, so there's this, I saw a tweet and some guy was like, I literally don't use Spotify anymore. I make my own music with Sona or Suna or whatever it's called. It's like, yeah, sure, whatever, buddy.
What the
fuck? That's a sad life. That's a sad life. Bummer. Because I think we also have to recognize that outside of those, the robot I was talking about earlier, like the really highly advanced AIs, most of them are just remixing existing thoughts into your parameters that you set and pulling from the web database and saying, okay, they want a rock ballad song, and it pulls all the rock ballads and goes, okay, so it sounds kind of like this, and then pulls like music theory and goes like, okay, we're supposed to have like, it has to have tempo and rhythm,
yeah,
and then the words have to rhyme and they have to fit inside of that iambic pentameter.
Oh, okay, Shakespeare, calm down.
Okay, sorry about that,
William.
Didn't mean to do that. Sorry, y'all. Oops. Iambic pentameter.
Calm down, Emerson.
Ralph Waldo?
Yeah.
What did he do? Why does his name?
I think he's a poet.
Good for him, you know? He's a poet, and I didn't know it.
Calm down, Bon Iver. Come on.
Bon Iver. Anyways, I forgot what I was saying. Whatever.
You're saying
it wasn't important.
The AI just pulls from existing things and knows the rules of like general music theory.
So here's an interesting thing I saw also. I'm back on TikTok. Not proud of it, but it's a reality.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. There's this guy on there and he's basically tracking. There's these robots that are AI powered on Facebook that are making these posts, and they basically pull up. It's like farming, basically. They pull together the things that get the most likes on Facebook. I think you know where I'm going.
I've seen these.
Yeah. It's like Jesus gets a lot of likes and a lot of interactions because boomers. And then like food and like animals and like precarious situations. And so there's these images of like, I saw one today, not myself, on the video he showed one. It was like Jesus made of spaghetti with his arm around a little girl in like a small village.
Mamma mia.
That's exactly what I said. I said, no, mamma mia.
Lord help
us. I was just kind of like, and then he says, and then he goes like, yeah, a lot of these are not even being interacted by with humans anymore because they're so insane. It's other AI robots doing the same thing, interacting with them, being like, wow. And so I think it's interesting because it's like, we're afraid of this dystopian future where AI is in control, but realistically, it's just every social media is going to have two halves. It's going to be one half of AI just being like, talking to each other and being like, nice spaghetti Jesus, dude. And the other side is going to be the rest of like normal humans doing normal human things.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Because that's what Facebook
is.
There's this subset of AIs talking to each other and making weird Jesus AI and like animal mashups.
Oh my gosh. That is so crazy.
It's killing. I was like, this is insane. And like, it gave me a little bit of like, oh, we're fine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're fine. Realistically, so, we're okay.
That's so funny. You know, it's so funny not that to like, it knows kind of what might be good. So like, let's say it puts Jesus with like a lamb, you know, in a pasture. That's like, that's a smart AI post. But then it gets 100%. It gets confused and it does like Mao Zedong wearing a Yoshi costume or something. And it's like, people are going to like this because people like culture and video games. It's just not going to go well. But it doesn't know that. And the other AI like it, you know?
Yeah. And that's there's no quality control. There's no feedback that's actually valuable because AI is not really made to think, critically and go, hey, that's not good, or hey, that is good. And so they're just automatically like, dude, two thumbs up. Great work on the spaghetti, Jesus.
I love that.
Bang on. Ready to go. So there's this other thing, too, I think is scary. What you're talking about with the email, I wouldn't be super surprised if in larger corporations, people that get a lot of emails start utilizing an AI bot that will look through all of their emails and the way that they talk and then like be able to answer some emails for the person without them even seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, if I email my boss three levels up, who's getting a ton of emails, and basically like, hey, do you have any job positions available here? And then he, like the AI would receive the email too in his inbox and look at it and go, okay, let me pull from Power BI to see how many opportunities we have in this general area and then answer the email back this way in his writing style, send. And the boss hasn't even seen the email. And the AI kind of takes over and like answers for him. And then if he uses that emailing style, I feel like there would have to be a disclaimer at the bottom where it's like, this email was answered by, you know, email AI, right? Yeah. Like they would have to do that.
You'd think, but I don't know.
You would think.
I don't know what the rules are on that or the law.
I know.
I don't know if there are any laws in place at this point.
There's not. We're so behind. Have you gotten any spam calls that are AI, utilizing AI?
I don't think so. I don't really answer spam calls, but
I do know. All the time. It's kind of my fatal flaw. That's why I get so many, I think, because I always answer them and try to get to a real person and just like yell at them. Or just be like,
just screech.
Yeah, realistically, that's what I do. It's a good time. Or just try to keep them on for as long as possible and like talk in circles. Just like waste their time. Anyways, I've been getting ones now where it's like sounds kind of like a real person, but like also AI, where their delivery is not quite the same as the normal delivery of a human person that would usually have to share the things. And you're like, all right, well, this is AI. But the weird thing is, I think people have become so used to the spam calls having like, not being racist, like an Indian accent or a middle, like a Mediterranean area accent. And so they get away from that by using an AI to give human that has like an English accent giving you the call. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's AI very clearly, but you'll get redirected. If you, it uses like English. Like it sounds like an American English.
Speaker. I got you.
But then if you stay on it long enough, you end up speaking to someone that's not English, Native American English speaker.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand
like,
you.
It's a hook.
But now I do. Yeah.
It's like a hook to get him in to be like, oh, this isn't one of those calls. This is, you know, this could be real. So
it's like a real guy. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. It's a little wacky.
Now I'm actually done with the AI thing. I'm sorry.
Sus.
Sorry for that little.
Oh, that's little fine.
Side quest.
Very interesting stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a hot topic today. I don't want to pretend to be an expert, but I am. So
I do. I want to pretend to be an expert.
We don't even have to pretend because we are.
We are
experts. Yeah.
This is twice now I've used AI to make content for the podcast.
Well, I mean, it makes things easy. So
does.
It really and it's does. Pretty entertaining, honestly.
Yeah.
As long as robots don't kill us, I guess we're fine.
So. I don't think they will. I think in reality they would. There's a little bit of me that's like, if they're around long enough and learn enough, they might be like, yo, humans are the problem, and then try to extinguish the humans. But that's just me.
Yeah, we'll see. I have been watching a decent amount of videos on, there's this one guy on YouTube that makes a bunch of videos on like his, full self-driving, like new beta version that is getting really good and making like very human decisions in different like driving scenarios. So for example, this guy basically just records his like dashboard that shows what's going on. I think it's in a Tesla, and it'll show on the bottom of the screen like just kind of what it's surveying of everything around the car. So if it shows like a human walking, it'll show like a human shape walking, cars driving, and it knows like what's moving and what's not. So a car moving is going to be in blue, a parked car is going to be white or black or whatever. And I guess the like full self-driving maybe like a year ago was iffy, would make some weird decisions, would put some people in some interesting spots. But I guess it's been like, they've been testing a beta version and it's gotten like very good at just making generally human decisions, which, you know, it used to kind of drive like a grandma. It's kind of gotten more aggressive, but in like a safe way. An example, and this one was interesting, but there's a lot of other interesting ones, is that he will test it in like San Francisco, which is like a very wild driving town and city, right. I guess. And so one town, he should like town, yeah,
village, if you will.
Yeah. He showed this intersection where basically cars were coming right and left and they didn't have a stop sign or anything. And he was trying to turn left and he was waiting there for like, you know, 45 seconds, a minute. Things were not letting up, but they had to yield for anybody crossing the street parallel to what the road that he was on. So the person crossing the street came from the other side of the road and the full self-driving AI recognized, okay, people are stopping for this pedestrian. And then once the pedestrian got past like the center line of the road and was like halfway down the other road, it knew that it could then turn left and not hit the person, but use that as a way
window.
To wow. like as a window to get, which is a very human decision. You know, like yeah. you realize, okay, this is probably my shot to get past these people. And that is just something it probably would have never done a year ago. It would have stayed there for, you know, 3 hours years. If there was never an opening.
Yeah, yeah.
So just very interesting. And honestly, as long as that is like totally proof of hitting people, that's yeah. I'm here for it. There was like a couple moments that I saw where it did make a wrong decision, got a little too aggressive and got stuck. And I think there are just like some things that you just can't prepare for. Something blocking the road that the car doesn't recognize, you know, like a trash can, yep. A squeeze that it thought it could make past cars but can't. So it also, this is so funny, it'll like make a lot of tight squeezes between cars if it knows it can make it, because it like knows its dimensions and knows how wide the gap is, and it'll fold in the rear view mirrors to be able to get through, which is so cool. But just really interesting. I forget what his name is, but look him up. His license plate is AI seen those driver
videos.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're really it's good, interesting. Honestly,
the transition, like the same thing. I don't know if you've seen this, because I've seen those videos too, but I saw it earlier when it was like mm-hmm. not great.
Yeah.
And like the same thing with like, you remember DALL-E?
Yeah.
The AI image creation.
Yeah.
I feel like they get popular when they're bad and then we forget about them and then they become good in the background. And then mm-hmm. we all have this resurgence. Cause I don't know if you've seen recently, like remember the video of Will Smith trying to eat spaghetti and it was like yeah. super terrifying.
Yeah.
Or The Rock eating rocks, just terrifying. And now they're like, this was AI a year ago. This is AI today. And it's like a ultra HD, high definition, high quality yeah. video. And you're like, oh my goodness, that's hard to determine from reality. Uh-huh. And so it's like, it's just confusing and also kind of interesting how we're like at first going, haha, it's bad right now. And then we forget about it. And then it comes back. It's like, oh my goodness, it's actually really good. Like the improvement, it's like a hockey stick graph where it's like there was no development in AI, no development. And then it started getting really good over a really short amount of time. And that's kind of where we're at. We're riding the hockey stick up right now going, oh my goodness, everything is getting way better, way faster. And we're just like remembering a year ago when it was down at the beginning of the crest where we're like, yeah, that kind of looks like Will Smith, and I can identify that as spaghetti, but what he's doing is not eating. He's, like, morphing with it every once in a while. Yeah. Like, that's weird. And now it's like, this might as well be a video that someone took.
And now that spaghetti has gone on to become the savior of humanity.
Yeah.
So it all connects.
Sat next to a little girl in a small village, and then thousands of AIs are on there, like, so heartwarming. Love it.
Mm-hmm. The village of San Francisco, just to clarify.
Yeah. The township of New York City.
Yeah.
But, yeah. The borough of Houston. That's kind of all I have to say about AI. I've exhausted my AI resources.
Nice.
Did you? I saw you, I guess, posted on the EBP Instagram. Did we get anything or no?
We got a question from my sister Maddie. The question was, what is your favorite K-drama, which is Korean TV? So do you have an answer?
give me a sec.
Yeah, I know. I can just see you really thinking hard about this question.
Best K-drama.
Yeah, you're just kind of voicing your thoughts. And me too.
Search.
Maddie, I did listen to your episode about Chicken Nugget, which I thought was fascinating. I don't know if I'll watch it, but it does seem like a very interesting show.
I think my favorite K-drama has to be Something in the Rain.
Yeah, what's it
I'm
about?
I'm afraid I picked one that's like not great.
It's like wild.
It's like super bad or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about a single career woman who reunites with her best friend's younger brother after he returns from 3 years of working abroad. Their efforts to reconnect grow into romance.
Wow.
It's a romance. It airs on JTBC, and the first episode aired on March 30, 2018. I'm just such a big fan, I know that stuff. The last episode was on May 19th, 2018, so only lasted for one season, it looks like.
Nice.
And you can watch it on Viki, Tubi, and Amazon Prime TV, and it's offered in English and Korean, and had 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow.
I just know all that off the top of my head.
Yeah. That's pretty good. My favorite is... Maddie, there was one that we watched. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, dang it. It was... I can't remember anything about it either. Dang it, I feel like a bad brother. It was pretty good, though. Although I think that you said that was one of the ones that you didn't really like. I wish I remembered what it was. I'm going through her podcast
There's
episodes
so
right
many.
Now. Yeah, they
There's
make
so
a lot.
So many. Holy cow. Look at this. Queen of Tears, and then also Queen of Divorce, but it shows a man on the cover of both of those, which is confusing because he might not be the queen. Maybe there's another person.
Maybe.
We got High Jekyll and Me. We have Seaside Village Cha-Cha-Cha.
Okay.
Are these made for like American consumption?
Because these
kind of sound like titles that are like made to be like a Korean person thinking, what would an American like?
They totally might be.
Suspicious Partner. Squid Game. Squid Game's a K-drama?
I guess it was made in Korea.
Fair enough.
Kind of the same as like if you ever saw P. What's it called? P something. Parasite. Did you ever see Parasite?
No.
Very interesting movie.
It's a horror, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of. It's more of a thriller. Very interesting, though.
2019 film.
I don't really like it, but...
Dark comedy thriller? It's funny?
It's basically about this family who is super rich, and then this family who's super poor. And the poor family finds its way into the lives of the rich family, you know, as, like, the tutor of their kid, as their, like, house cleaner, as their driver, and totally, like, takes over this family and... spoiler, they pretty much kill everybody at the end. So
oh, okay.
It's pretty wild.
Okay, so dang it, dude. I actually kind of wanted to watch that. So there's nothing about like an actual parasite or like a bug or something.
No, which honestly, I think it's better that you know that. I guess I spoiled it, but not totally, because like when I first watched it, I was the entire time ready for there to be like a massive bug or something that would kill everybody. It's more of a psychological thriller, which I think knowing that makes it a better movie. So I think you should still watch it. I didn't really give away how anything happens. I don't know.
I'll have to watch that, honestly.
Maybe I definitely
thought.
You.
Yeah, I definitely thought that it was like this bug and like, or like this creature. And I was like, dude, I'm not watching that. That is insane. That's
yeah,
gross.
I think you'll actually like it more that you know there's not like a bug. It's like just human relationship stuff. It's very fascinating.
That gives me a lot of peace, I'll be honest.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad we worked through that answer. Mm. That's good stuff. Yeah.
So that's all I got.
Have you been big on GeoGuessr recently?
Not recently.
I was playing it a little bit, and then I was on either TikTok or Reels, and I was like watching this one video, and this guy showed like out his window for one of his videos or something, and I was like, you know that GeoGuessr guy?
Rainbolt?
Yeah.
That guy's awesome. Lightning Bolt.
That is an insane amount of power to have, where you can look at a reel and see out someone's window and be like, I know exactly where he is.
Maybe
not exactly, but I know what state, what country.
He can figure it out. Yeah.
Like, that's insane. That's like too much power. Like, that alone would make me want to hesitate before posting really anything relating to my personal life online. Where it's like, he can't be the only one either. You think about that. Like, there's got to be more people that are like decent at GeoGuessr enough to be able to identify this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just scary. And then imagine if he just was all of a sudden like, sup guys, I've been super wholesome and I've been, you know, playing online and stuff, but I'm actually going to change now. I'm going to just be a serial killer and just like find people from videos they post and just, you know, take them out.
Just take them out. Just kind of parasite.
And we'd all just kind of be like, ah, okay.
Yeah. Like what have I posted online? He's going to find me.
I posted, I don't know if it's still there on my Instagram, of a picture of my cat, and in the background you can see my backyard.
Oh, no.
And, like, you're done. a good amount of my backyard, too.
Oh, my gosh. You got a cat?
I have a cat.
When?
Not here. No, this was back in 2018.
Oh. Okay. I was like, when did you get a cat? That's awesome.
Either way, I'm looking at getting a cat. I would like to.
I think I know you said that. Wow.
I just, right now, there's a lot of question marks on if I'm going to stay here a long time or not. But
fair enough.
On the same topic, honestly, it's kind of lame because a lot of my podcast topics that I wanted to talk about are all from like watching reels. It's like not my favorite thing. But I was watching this one guy putting on like old timey clothes, like not like 1950s, 70s clothes, like where the exchange of humans was like a chill career, you know, like that era, like really old times. I don't even know when that, like 1770s, 1780s.
Okay.
Maybe. Is that era?
Sounds right.
Either way, like they wore so many clothes, like so many, like he kept on putting on layers. He'd be like, this is my undersock and then my big sock and then my biggest sock and then my biggest sock, which locks into my under trousers and then my trousers under my under trousers and then my top trousers and then my pants and then my pantaloons and then the pantaloons go over my biggest sock, which attaches to my under trouser.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, what are we doing? What are they doing back then? They didn't have AC.
No, they were just hot and sweaty all the time, I guess.
I guess so. They're just
overheating. I don't know. Like, what's the point of that?
That's what I also didn't know either. It's like, well, why were we doing that? What was wrong with shorts and, I guess, sandals at that time? When it gets hot out, what's wrong with just throwing on a pair of shorts and, like, you know, a sleeveless tank top? Because they put on, like, sleeveless tank top and then a t-shirt and then the thing that has, like, little ruffles here and then, like, the outer coat and then, like, a vest and then an upper coat and then another one on top of that. And then they tie, like, this tie so tightly. And I was like, dude, you're making yourself into this little hot pocket.
Yeah.
And you're walking out into the sun all day. And it's all cotton. It's
all cotton. And powdered wig.
Yeah. And you're going to throw a big old mop on top of you. That's crazy, dude. What are we doing?
Man, I don't know. I'm curious now. I have no idea.
What was happening back then? We got to get to the bottom of this. Why were we doing that?
I don't know.
There's no reason we should be doing that.
Truly no reason.
It just isn't. I don't understand.
Well,
but that was a take I had. I wanted to tweet about it, but I couldn't find a way to get that rant into a tweet size. But
that is so interesting to think about. There's got to be a reason.
The weird thing was, like, it was kind of the norm. It wasn't like only the high end people wore that. It was like, I mean, yeah, it was mostly high like income people that would wear that stuff. But at the same time, everyone was wearing some variation of 1,000 layers.
Yeah.
You know.
Weird. I mean, you watch like a video from like the 20s. Every dude is in a suit and like a top or like a bowler hat.
Yeah.
And even like the kids are wearing that. It's just really interesting. I don't really get the point. They look kind of dapper, but like at what cost?
Too much of a cost, in my opinion. Have you ever seen The Great Gatsby?
I've read the book. Literature.
Okay. So if you watch the movie ever, they like have this scene where they're like driving into the city and it's like really hot out. And then their solution is to get a big bucket of ice and just like blow air on it and blow it into the room as like air conditioning. Oh. Meanwhile, they're sitting there in like the full 1920s get up tweed jackets. It's like, just take a couple layers off. Just take off a layer or two and chill out for a second. You don't need to be doing all that.
If you show skin, you get shot on sight, I think, is the problem.
It's worth it. I'm at the point, dude, like, you know, that might just have to be the way it goes.
Yeah. I'm with you. I would get shot in sight just to wear a tank top.
100%, yeah. If you took away my shorts and a t-shirt, I would be willing to take the death penalty to put them on. Yeah. That's without a doubt. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Just history, culture.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Questions
here. Yeah.
That's what we just get into on this pod, man.
Yeah. Can I talk about something that I have been really into?
Please do. Oh, okay. I hope it is what I think it is.
It's, okay. What do you think it is?
I think it's the sports teams you texted me about.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, that's okay.
It's not sports. It's actually video games.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, the Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is a video game that I played last week, and it is incredible. And I just wanted to talk. I literally just watched a video about like the history of it, and I just wrote down stuff, and I just wanted to share about this game just to spread it to the masses, tell people how much I like it. So if you've never played a Zelda game, they're made by Nintendo. They're a series about this guy named Link who wears green clothes, and he is just a hero. There's a whole kind of
funny little hat.
Yeah, green hat.
Little triangle hat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like so that. There's like an entire lore about this character, and he kind of like reincarnates between the games, but he's always like, he always looks the same, and he always basically fights against the evil powers. But in the 90s, a group of people working at Nintendo were making the game A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo system. And as they were kind of making this game, it was a big success, and this group of people started to basically try to program a Zelda game on the GameCube, or no, not GameCube, Game Boy, my bad, on the Game Boy, the handheld system, just kind of for fun.
I was gonna say, that's the little box.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a thick box. Whoa, Ethan just did a little heart on FaceTime, and it made a bunch of hearts fly up. I'm gonna do the thumbs up, blink. So yeah, they were trying to just kind of make a game on the Game Boy. Just lasers. That's amazing. Just for fun to kind of see if they could do it. And anyway, they didn't really expect it to go anywhere. It was just kind of for fun. And eventually, more and more people started realizing that a couple of these employees were staying late to like make these Game Boy Zelda games. And they were like, hey, I want to get in on that. And a whole crew of people just started staying late just to start creating this Zelda game that they wanted to make just like for fun. And eventually they were like, okay, this game is actually good. And they like pitched it to the execs, and the execs were like, yeah, go for it. Let's go ahead and make this game. And basically because they were basically spending all this time after work making it, it just became a complete passion project for these people. And, Specifically, I'm just going to shout out the actual people who made this game. The director of the game, Takashi Tezuka. The writers, Yoshiaki Koizumi, and there's another guy. I didn't write his last name. Composers, Mink Hamano, Kozu Ishikawa, and Kazumi Totaka, who is also one of the composers who did Animal Crossing, Wii Sports, some bangers on Wii Sports, Yoshi's Island, Luigi's Mansion, Pikmin 2. So he was a big composer back in the day. But the other two people were women who had never made, like, they had never composed a soundtrack before, and they did most of it. It was their first game, and the soundtrack slaps. So
what is this game again? Is this Legend of Zelda?
Yeah.
Is that Link's, the game?
Link's Awakening is the name
Link's
of the game.
Link's Awakening, okay.
So this was probably the fourth, maybe, or fifth game that they did in the series. Pretty early. It was made in 1993. Okay. So eventually they do release this game, and so they kind of wanted to make it a little bit more like story-driven than the other games, which were a little bit less story-driven. So they actually, one of the guys, I think Tezuka, the director, I think he went to school for film and wanted to make it more like cinematic. So the story, I'll share the story. And I'm going to be playing some of the video, some of the soundtrack in the background of the section, so you guys will hear it just because it's so good. So Link washes up on this island called Koholint Island after a shipwreck, and he meets a local girl named Marin. She is from Mabe Village, and before heading into the village, this like owl shows up and starts talking to him, and the owl is like, hey, in order to leave this island, you will need to collect 8 instruments and wake up what's called the windfish, which is in a massive pink egg that is on a volcano in the middle of the island. So you show up, you see this egg, this owl's like, hey, you're gonna have to like defeat all the 8 bosses from the dungeons, get the instruments, and play them at the same time to wake up the windfish, then you can go home. And so Link's like, all right, sounds good. After that, he follows Marin into the village. He learns pretty much that things are like kind of weird on this island, but pretty charming. You know, he starts to kind of form friendships with the people in the village. Pretty charming stuff. But there's always a tinge of like, there's something a little off, you know? So even in the music, you can kind of hear it's like pretty, but then there's usually a note here and there that's like, something's iffy here. Which I don't, AI couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's exact. I couldn't even do a key change. I was trying to get it to do a key change. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? And so it's also funny because in this game, because the people making it were just like, screw it, we're going to do whatever we want. They put like Luigi from Mario in it. They put like Goombas, Peach, they put Chain
Chomp. Did that last?
Yeah, it's in the game.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you're just walking around, and like one of the main plots of the game is to walk around a Chain Chomp like it's a dog. One of the main plots of the game is to bring a letter to this guy named Mr. Wright, who apparently is from SimCity. It's like a main plot line. You're in a dungeon and you see Kirby just trying to kill you. It's hilarious. But as Link begins like collecting all the instruments from the dungeon, after he kills a boss or like defeats them, they'll say something interesting to him. They start piecing together this story where he finds out that another spoiler. So if you want to play the game, I guess don't listen, but it's pretty apparent pretty early on that the entire island is basically a dream that the windfish is having. And he finds out that if he wakes up the windfish to like leave the island and go home, everything on the island and all its inhabitants will disappear because they're all part of the dream. And so then it's like the tone of the game shifts where it goes from like very charming to like, Link is then like basically wrestling with, if he leaves this island, all of the people that he's with here, all the places are going to disappear. Like, they're gone. And I just think that's such a fascinating tone shift for this video game for kids, where you start to kind of grasp with, like, this whole world that I'm falling in love with is completely fake, and all these people are fake. And
do you have to leave it? I mean, I don't want to jump ahead. Continue.
Yeah. That's basically the whole plot, is just kind of grasping with that. But it's just like it's charming and eerie, both kind of pulling at each other the whole game. And so, yeah, I mean, the ending, you can kind of guess, like, he wakes up the fish, but
he does.
Yeah, I mean, if you beat all the, that's kind of like the point of the game.
Is to leave the island.
Yeah, you got to leave the island to get back home. But
so do you have to make the choice, like, to say, like, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and shut everything down and leave.
By beating the game, you kind of are making the choice, and then you see the island disappearing in front of you. It's just very, very interesting. But I like totally fell in love with this game the last week because I've been playing it and I beat it.
The Switch?
So they made it in 93 on the original Game Boy. They remade it a few years later on the Game Boy Color. And then 4 years ago, they remade it again on the Switch. Really good remake. And the soundtrack is great. But yeah, it's just very, very good game. In this video I was watching, I loved this quote at the end by Tezuka, the director. He just said, and it's just so funny, like, when they translate these to English, it's very plain, but he just says, "I remember it was fun working on it, and when it was over, I remember us talking to each other about how fun it was." So, just very heartwarming.
It's, like, so wholesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it started as an after-work sub-project, and then was turned into... Like, was it brought on board to be like, all right, this is actually a new project we're going to work on? Or did it get completely finished in, like, an after work type thing?
I don't know how much they actually made after work, but they at least got, like, the entire thing working on a Game Boy, which they had to kind of figure out how to get, like, the Game Boy engine to make a Zelda game. And then I think it was greenlit, like, pretty much early on when they found out, or when they realized that they actually had, like, a good concept for a game. Greenlit it. It's so funny because Shigeru Miyamoto, who is, like, the game designer at Nintendo, he's the creator of Mario. He, like, was pretty heavily involved in the original Zelda stuff. He is, like, the guy at Nintendo. He was, like, one of their main game testers, one of the comments on the video was awesome. It was like, imagine making a game so good that Miyamoto wants to test it for you. So it's just great that, like, these people just love the game. They started making it, and now it's, like, been remade twice. People still, like, I played it 31 years after it came out, and it was so fun. It's so well designed. I just love when stuff completely, like, stands the test of time just because it's made with so much heart and so much quality.
That's what I was going to go into. It's like that decision of people to be like, I'm going to stay after work and invest my personal time into this. You know, it's like a dead giveaway. It's like, well, this is going to be insane because it's a passion product. That creativity is going to be so much more of a high quality, high end product because the people are care about it and they're interested in it. And they're like, you know, I think that's obviously a big part of it. I don't know. And then also, like you were saying, the music design, like I have not paid my dues to music design in video games, I think, especially. I think that you're like the storyline, because it's such a background character per se in video games. Like, I'm never sitting there, I don't play much, but when I do play them, I'm not sitting there thinking about the music in the background, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of there. Versus, like, how much story, like you were saying, it's sharing. And then, like, same with movies too, but, like, video games, I think, is interesting because it's your world, and then they're giving you a soundtrack to it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's super sweet.
Video game music is so good. I will say I've only really studied, like, Nintendo music, specifically a lot of it from, like, older games. It's so good because they, with, like, their audio engine that they had in, let's say, the Game Boy, they had the space for, I think in the earlier consoles, it was, like, four sounds at once. And so you could literally have four sounds playing at the same time. One of them was usually a sound effect. The other three were probably music. And so then you could have like one percussion track, one maybe melody track, and then another track that's like complementing the melody and kind of creating the illusion of like harmony or chords. And so they just had to get so creative and build a melody that is so like, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
Rudimentary, but also.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they had to just think through each note with such precision that so many of these songs are just so iconic. You know, the original Mario theme, the original Zelda theme, a lot of the songs on this soundtrack. Even think about like the original Tetris theme or like all these songs that are like so intricately designed because they didn't have the luxury of like any extra
filling it out
or anything.
Yeah.
They literally had percussion, melody, and then like one other thing. In later games, they got to add more, which was cool too. But just so cool how all of it comes together and they use their limitations like in such an insane way. Just because they didn't have room for anything extra. So they had to be so
that force.
So thoughtful with what they put into the game in every level. So yeah, I really love like Nintendo stuff. I think it's so fascinating. You know, it would have been so cool to kind of be there when they're creating these things and when, you know, they were composing some of these original songs. And yeah, I just think it's so such a fascinating part of history.
Hmm. That's definitely a part of culture I have missed out on.
Mm.
I would say, just as far as like video games go, I've never, you know, I respect and like can definitely understand the appeal of them, but I do think that's something I just never did as a kid. But I'm like, boy, if I could go back, I think it would be cool to get into them and like understand them a little more. And just like, because there's a lot of nostalgia, not saying it's not good as is it. It's standalone, it's high quality, and like I can understand that, but also there's a lot of nostalgia value that you can kind of get out of that.
Yeah.
That I don't really have either. Did you play it as a kid on the Game Boy?
No. So no. I will say a lot of this is nostalgia, but this game, I never played as a kid. I had never heard some of this music before this, but it still kind of incites that nostalgia. Like they do such a good job. Yeah. Even though I never played it, it does help that I did play Zelda as a kid. But
that's crazy. It's even able to do that with the music, is inciting nostalgia where there is nothing to be nostalgic about.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So if you want to get into any of the music, a couple songs that I think are fun. The National Park theme from Pokemon Gold and Silver is really good. The just opening theme to Ocarina of Time, which is a Zelda game, really good, very like nostalgic. And then Gusty Garden Galaxy from Mario Galaxy is far and away one of the best like orchestra arrangements ever made for a video game. It's just so good. So there's a lot of good stuff, but those are some of my favorites from video games. But big fan. I think it's, yeah, it's slept on, I would say, some of this music.
Well, I can tell like there's a lot of passion. It's exciting. You can share that. Have you? I feel like that's something you've wanted to like. I don't know. There's some topics I've wanted to. I've always kind of been like, boy, it'd be fun to like make a video about this, but I don't even know how to get around to starting that. Or it's already existed for me. A lot of mine too. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, I can pretty much find this exact same video I want to make, and it already exists. So
yeah, it's trying to find videos that you could make that haven't been made like new. Yeah. But yeah, this would be, I mean, I would love to like research some of this more and learn more about it. Even just watching this video and learning a little bit more about this game was super fun. But yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's sweet. So,
yeah. Big fan. That's what I've been into.
This has been a chock full episode.
Yeah.
Just going to call that out real quick.
A lot of good stuff.
We've filled it up.
Yeah.
Look at us go.
Fun stuff. My throat's getting a little scratchy now from talking so much.
I know, right?
good stuff.
I have a call with my siblings. We're trying to figure out. I think we're going to do a big siblings trip to. We don't know yet. That's what the call's about.
Oh, nice. So, that's fun.
Figure that out. Yeah, we're going to do that tonight. Figure out, or at least pitch some ideas. Probably not land on anything, but the idea is find a place.
Do you have any ideas you want to share here, or do you want to save them all for the call?
No, I was supposed to do research on it and find some places, but I spent my whole time making stupid songs about changing tires on the highway. So
that's amazing.
That didn't work out quite right, but I'll probably do the thing where I'm like, yeah, you guys go first, and they'll sit on my phone and be like,
and just
spit some ideas out. But that's honestly, awesome. I'm going to take whatever Katie, my oldest sister, has as the best advice simply because she's out there. And we know we want to go west. She's already out west, and so she knows.
I was looking at the Grand Tetons on Google Maps this morning. That's a really pretty place.
Just naturally, you're just on Google Maps looking at the Tetons.
I woke up thinking about this vacation that we went on when I was like 11 to Heart Six Ranch out in, I forget which town in Wyoming, but by like Jackson, Wyoming, but right at the base of the Tetons. I don't know why I was thinking about this. But then I was looking on Google Maps to try to find Heart Six. Sure enough, it's still going strong. So
nice. Good for them over at Heart Six.
Yeah. I knew which year we went on this vacation because the album Collapsible Lung came out. By Relient K.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Collapsible Lung does sound like a Script album.
My human brain can't always remember if it's 2011 or 2013. I did just look it up. It's 2013. But that's the year that we went on this trip, because I remember I downloaded it on my iPod like right before we went on the trip. It came out in July of 2013, and then we went on this trip like that month. So I was listening to this album the whole vacation on my iPod Nano. But yeah, Tetons are really pretty.
That's sweet. Having music attached to you, like jumping back to music, having the music attached to like memories is always the best.
Yeah.
Or the worst.
Or the worst.
A song will come on and you're like, oh, I can't. And you just have to skip it.
Yeah.
Give it
some time.
Just like, that one hurts. That one hurts. You know, you have to sit there for a second.
That's me with the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody theme song. Just really, a couple of my breakups have been really associated with that.
Yeah, man, that's me with, obviously Bangarang by Skrillex. That's been a big part of my life.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know we joke about it a lot, but I'm holding back tears every time.
Yeah. Bangarang.
I'm going to listen to the Script after this, between this call and that call. That's the plan. I'm on the Script's Wikipedia right now, and I'm like, they really put out some bangers. The Man Who Can't Be Moved, Break Even, Talk You Down, Nothing, Science and Faith, Hall of Fame, 6 Degrees of Separation, Superheroes, Man on a Wire. Dude, they're all so fire. Like, how did I forget
Living
about this?
In a Hall of Fame.
Well, it's going to know your name.
Being like, yeah, it is.
I don't know what grade that'd be, being like, yeah, dude.
Gosh, probably yeah, like fifth man. Grade. When did
what
that
was I getting
out?
Amped for? What in my life did I need to be amped up for? Third grade math class?
Like, song came out in 2012. So like
12 year old would be, I guess what 7th grade me was like,
that's
awesome. Yeah, dude, I'm fired up.
That's well, so funny.
You have anything else?
Well, we have to share just something really incriminating.
Okay.
Oh
yeah. We have to do the thing.
Sorry. Inflammatory, not incriminating.
Yeah. I was like, all right, we're going to incriminate ourselves. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think that
it's got to be like kind of clickbaity for a good title.
It was harder than I thought. I just broke my pen. That's cool.
Oh, no.
All my opinions are so
peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with the crust is the way to go versus crustless.
Yeah, I think the crust is the best part of the bread. I'll take you a step further.
Oh,
the best part of the bread is, you know, like the absolute ends of them when it's just like the butt of the bread.
Yeah.
That's the best part. The sandwich made with purely the butts is just the best sandwich.
Dude, I have been messing with the sandwich butts recently. I'm not going to lie to you.
What?
Here's what you do is you make a half sandwich by just putting stuff like PB&J on the butt
on the
and
inside.
Then flip, just, you know, squishing it.
And you trick your brain into thinking it's normal.
Yeah. Pretty good. I think the opinion of like the crust is the best part of a pizza. That is crazy. That is like psycho. It's pretty good, but it's not the best part. Like,
if you have a good pizza, it can't be though.
Well, maybe that's the inflammatory thing, is that it's the best part.
So, if you get a good pizza.
True. Well, that's pretty inflammatory. Right. Maybe. I don't know if I'll actually make that the title, but we'll see.
Nah, I feel like we talked about a lot more exciting stuff than that.
What do you think we should make the title? Or like what topic? The problem is that when I'm making these titles and stuff, usually the thing that I remember the most is the stuff that I talked about. So then I have to like listen back and remember exactly what you talked about. No offense to you, but that's just me being selfish. And I remember the stuff that I talked about.
You could title it Walking the Chomp Chain. Chomp Chomp.
Chain Chomp?
Chain Chomp.
Hmm. All right. Chomp Chain. I like that.
This Chomp Chain is AI. I don't know video games.
That's okay.
Video games, dude.
I'll figure it out. You'll have to just see what it is on Wednesday.
I'm so excited.
Wow.
Everyone, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, Ethan, thanks for making those AI songs. Those were amazing.
Of course, it took me a total of like 10 minutes.
Maybe I think I'm going to listen to 9 to 5 Dreams kind of on my own after the episode. Just kind of have a little moment to myself.
If you're ever having like a down day or kind of bummed out, you know, yeah. I think Mitchell's Wrath would be good to fire you up. Good. Also Thoughts and Bagels if you're kind of in a more soft, quiet mood. But for me, Corporate Cowboy, I'll be listening to that probably every morning on the way into work.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Fire song. Yeah,
I probably will listen to that tomorrow on the way to work, just on the drive.
There you go. But it's right in the notes. Help yourself.
Fun.
Alrighty.
All right.
Thank you everyone for listening.
Yep. Enjoy.
We're going to go die now.
Yeah. Well, first we have to crawl out of this cave in formerly Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia, yeah.
So, I don't know what it is now, but it formerly was Yugoslavia.
Stinky in here.
Stinky. I need to go peel off my large socks and my medium socks and my small socks. And my mini socks.
I got my trench coat, my upper coat, my overcoat, my vest, and then my shirt, and then my tunic, and then my undershirt, and then my under tunic.
Tunic is a great word.
Tunic.
I love tunic. All right.
For real this time, we're done. We're ending the episode. Yep. Everyone, drive safe. Call your moms. Bye. Bagel.